listening to the Fakeologist Radio Review of the Clues Forum. We do this review as often as we can, bringing to you the latest highlights of topics covered at cluesforum.info. Cluesforum.info is the leading forum for discovering and deconstructing media fakery. It is the companion website to Simon Schacht's Ground Zero breaking movie, September Clues, the key to deconstructing the biggest military media hoax of our time, 9/11. Once you've discovered this key to unlocking media fakery, you'll be amazed at the range of myths and hoaxes covered at Clues Forum. These include NASA and the moon hoax, global and local terror events such as London 7/7, and nukes and nuclear power, to name just a few. Listen now to the latest research and topics covered, and follow the links provided in today's broadcast notes to further explore the massive world of media deception swirling around you. Now, here's your host, Aberrato. Please.
Hi, everybody.
It's me, Aberrato. How you doing, guys? You're listening to episode 109 of Fakeologist Radio, where we review the Clues Forum, one of my favorite forums to go to for clear-minded research into 9/11 and all the other psyops of the day. Hoi Polloi is one of the administrators at Clues Forum, and between him and Simon, they do some of the best research. Not to discount some of the other contributors, but it's their forum, and they do some very in-depth research. They put in a lot of time. People don't realize how much time goes into creating posts. They don't just throw stuff up. They're actually quite careful. And Hoi did some really good research that any investigative reporter, if they existed, should be doing, but don't. And even if they did do it, it wouldn't get through. But Hoi did some research into who funds the National September 11th Memorial Museum that opened to great fanfare and controversy, all deliberately sown, I'm sure. And I'll just read the beginning of his post. It says, "More in-our-face proofs that the typical and expected Rockefellers and banking institutions that fund the news, a.k.a. propaganda, fund war campaigns and fund the rebuilding afterwards, are behind the latest destruction of the Manhattan Block and the reconstruction of the memorial and the planned financial skyscraper meant to scrape more funds from the public and into the coffers of the rich." And he goes about looking at some of the organizations that create and lend power to the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation. So Hoi and I go back and forth and just discuss a bit of this post and a few other things that you might find interesting. And once more, the point of these Clues Reviews audios is just to get people to take a look at the Clues Forum, look at the massive amount of research that Simon and Hoi put in to exposing some of the components of these very complex psyops. So enjoy this audio and leave any comments you want in the comment section below. Episode 109. Thank you.
All right. We're now recording, and we're now talking with Hoi Polloi of the Clues Forum. And we're going to discuss his very good post about the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation. I think that's what it was called, right?
Yeah. The LMDC, yes. They're the ones who are funding the memorial. So it's really simple. Like, the most rudimentary research you can do is just looking up, just following the money, you know, just like who claims to be funding, you know, each and every thing on the chain of, funding groups. And yeah, it's just funny that you're saying nobody does it, but if you do, you see some interesting people that they even admit perhaps, like you were saying, also, they follow the law to the minimum that they have to, in as far as like these meetings that they do that must be so public to a certain extent, and then but then I was just noticing that they have these loopholes right in their public meetings about private meetings which take place for, you know, a couple hours and here or there, and
that might be where all the meat and potatoes is actually discussed. That's where all the right. real stuff is said.
That's what I was thinking, you know. It's like, okay, the press leaves the room, everyone's out of there. Now, what did they discuss for an hour or 2 hours? I imagine it was something like, you know, Chairman Whitehead, who is facilitating the meeting, you know, tells his contact, Miss Wright, who's supposed to be in contact with all the family members, okay, here's what you should be saying the family members need from me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just make sure the next meeting we talk about this. Let's say the family members said this and this and this. And sure enough, you know, a couple meetings later, Miss Wright brings up that the family members that she is in personal contact with them, you know, all of them, you know, all several thousand of them in one little room in this building. And yeah, she says basically that they're concerned about the very things that Whitehead is concerned about, which is, you know, getting business back in the area and transportation. And it's just so funny. It's like, how much more obvious can you be that this is kind of mobster style, like hoaxing of the public.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to do all this research? Because one thing that I like to point out to people is that even though a post might only fill a page or two of your browser, the information that you and Simon create on Clues Forum, each post can take a long time to research and create.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a whole day.
That's phenomenal.
Just reading the meeting notes and stuff, and that's not, in the long run, that's not very long. If we had been clued in, so to speak, and if we had been like smart enough to just look at that in the first place, then we could have saved ourselves some research, because it's just so clear that the people who are dealing with this money directly, they're taking it directly from HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development in the U.S. And that means that, you know, they're working with hundreds of millions of dollars and sending in these applications. And I don't think HUD is going to send a representative in and demand, you know, from Miss Wright or whatever, like, all right, let's take a look at, you know, the meeting notes of you sitting down with the families. I imagine that happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed to have met with all the families. Then they apply for the HUD funds. And then they get them, and it's just, you know, it's kind of just...
It's out and out stealing.
It's stealing, but it's very standard, you know, processes. And I'm sure that, you know, this kind of thing actually goes on a lot. And there may even be a certain number of things that we're not seeing which sort of keep it on the down low, or which, you know, sort of keep it out of like the normal public eye. So they find you know, the legal way of doing anything, but it's, you know, legal stealing, legal you know, money laundering, legal property changing hands and stuff, but it's very schemey.
Mm-hmm. They know all the loopholes. Maybe they write or help write the loopholes, or maybe not.
Yeah, well, probably, or their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the connections there are the Rockefellers, the highest military departments, Department of Defense, the highest financial institutions, the Federal Reserve, and the biggest banks, Chase, and all of them, Morgan Stanley, and it's just the usual gang of idiots, basically.
Mm-hmm. And they're almost the untouchables because they're so high up. There's really no one above them to question them.
Right.
So it's the absolute greatest abuse of authority. They've got the highest office, and since there's no one really above them to account to, other than the so-called Congress or the three branches of government, then they can operate with virtual immunity and impunity.
Yeah, that's right. And another funny thing is that they go through the motion of like having their little press conference, you know, like these meetings are supposed to be public, and it says such and such people were present at this meeting and every meeting. But then there's always this point in the meetings that have an executive meeting where they're just asked to leave. And it's just like, well, the press can't be here anymore because we're discussing, you know, the big boys are talking now. You know, we're having a very special meeting. You can go away now. And the press just has to obey. So that's, I mean, even if you were a citizen journalist.
You wouldn't get any information because you'd be dismissed.
You would get nothing.
So if there was a real journalist doing real research, that would be the big story, that the absolute meat and potatoes of this whole meeting are not public. And we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, and I think that I don't know about you, but I used to read the newspaper a lot.
Me too.
And I would notice oftentimes how just the ignorant place that most journalists have to edit and write from, because they're just, you know, there's certain avenues that they're allowed, but I mean, of course, like most gangsters are government gangsters. Are suspicious of anyone who's going to come in and report on anything. So, yeah, it's like not only is the press completely infiltrated, but if there even was a legitimate journalist, they wouldn't have much options. They'd be totally bullied by all their coworkers and their bosses, especially their bosses. And then if they had an opportunity, it would just be a little bit here or there. You know, it's kind of like teasing clues and a game of, you know, that keep away game that kids play with the ball. It's just constantly like,
you know, I want to just address one term, and that is when we say the government. I almost think when we throw around the term the government, it's almost like throwing around the term the Jews or the Muslims.
I agree. It's
very dangerous because I think we have to have some sort of societal organization. I don't think anarchy probably would work, but I'm open to the thought. So when people tar and feather the government, it's really such a huge broad stroke that it almost masks just the few key players in a few key places that are actually in or have paid off members in the government. So I just sometimes I get nervous with that generalization.
I agree. I mean, I have friends and family in military, in like press and things like that, and I don't know their whole story, but I can tell just from their bafflement and their level of like confusion about how it all works that like they're often in a position like we are, like just kind of trying to make it work, but
Just as much on the outside as we are. Even though their paycheck says government, they don't have a clue what's going on either. Just like at a corporation, you probably don't have any idea what goes on in the top boardroom. You don't even get to know. You just see the results like anyone else.
Well, that's a good metaphor. I mean, in a way, or simile, like it is a boardroom. Like it's the members of the shadow government of the U.S., you know? It's not the government as a whole. It's
so the shadow government would be just a few core or key individuals in some very important nexus points in the government, not necessarily the president, that coordinate an outside, independent of the official government's plan, just through a lot of nudging, cajoling, a lot of, well, I'll take care of that, you don't have to, kind of thing. It's very subtle.
Yeah, if you've ever worked with a bully Freemason fellow who lived in your small town or something like that, I mean, I've lived in a small town or two, and the kinds of people that rise to the top there sometimes can be these personalities, exactly what you're talking about, where it's like, let me take care of it, trust me, I'm the authority, you know, I'll handle those others, and they always have to demonize the other, you know, that's a big part of their thing.
Yeah.
And they get control because people are like, well, I don't want the responsibilities, and he's taking care of it, and yeah, so I'm sure it's just very, in a way, very simple psychology. We can get into the numerology, and that's very interesting in a way because it's about the particular brand of religion or psychosis or belief system that the gangsters have or purport to have. But when you get down to it, it's just it's basically microcosmic. Human scale dynamics blown up to the size of a country of over, you know, of hundreds of millions of people, you know, almost 300 million, if not more now. And yeah, it's too big to really control. And so they have to put all these security and control mechanisms in place. And who's going to rise to that challenge? It's going to be these kind of gangstery bully guys who have lots of money and lots of power, and they're familiar with it all, and same old connections.
Yeah, and they have organizations, whether it be the Freemasons, whether it be a religion or a pocket within a religion. They have to have a meeting point where there's some common ground or an excuse to get together anyway, just as simple as a country club, where that's where interactions might occur. But there is no building that says on it, shadow government meeting on Tuesday. So, that's...
No, I mean,
yeah.
Probably they're just walking around playing golf and having discussions about, you know, who they're going to knock off or who they're going to, you know, bribe or who, you know. I mean, do people really pay attention if they're, you know, on their job just managing a golf course? Are they going to run around following these people? No.
No, they're there among us. They're mingling among us, and anyone who's been in any kind of power structure of any level knows how it can work. And they're just on the highest level, coincidentally, and they happen to have access to all the big levers that make big things happen.
Yeah, and just look at the people who first get contracts after a disaster and things like that. I mean, it's already kind of in the public dialogue, you know, we talk about Halliburton and Enron and all these things, and that's those are I think that's a good starting place for some people to understand the so-called superclass and what's going on up there, or over there, we should say. And it's not really up anywhere; it's on our level. It's just over some place over there, you know, in that room over there, in that house over there. It's not really, you know, they're not living in a giant pyramid overlooking us.
No, they're just among us, and they just interact as seamlessly as any other group or organization interacts. They're not obvious, you can't see them, but they're there. And you've named some names in this post about, I guess, who are publicly known to be in this 9/11, what is this called anyway? This Lower Manhattan Development Corporation.
Yeah, let me take a look at the post again.
Yeah, and I'll link to the post in today's into this recording show notes. So you've got at least one post discussing it. It's one big post, yeah.
Yeah, a number. There's two posts that I sort of divided into two. There's one big post about the loose affiliation of individuals, the U.S. Departments of Energy, Intelligence, Defense Departments, the Council on Foreign Relations. That's a big one. That's where basically people often meet to discuss undemocratic decisions on how to move people around. It's very related to like public relations strategy and influencing lots of people without their consciously choosing to be influenced. Again, the biggest banks, richest families, Goldman Sachs, arguably involved in oil price control. Mm-hmm. Freddie Mac, infamous for, you know, the property bubble and the burst. Life insurance control. I think that's interesting because of all the supposed payouts that happened after, you know, the firefighters and families of firefighters claimed insurance things. You have a guy there apparently who basically manages the entire insurance system for North America.
Wow.
Which is Kevin Ramp or Rampe. It's Rampe. And
is that a real person?
Well, who knows at this point? You know, the only way to know is if you meet him. And that's another shield they have now, is this kind of meter-like, MITRE meter kind of mystery to it, which is, you know, that seems to be the sort of technical advisors of the CIA. There seems to be the meter CIA RAND trifecta.
Okay.
And they seem to be ones that go in and invest in companies, you know, and strategize how they can be there technologically or on their boards. And they seemed to be using fake pictures to represent their membership. So that seemed to be one of the things. Like, you you get deep enough in this research and it seems like...
So we'll never be able to find these people because they don't exist.
Oh, yeah. You'll be able to find them. But, like, okay, if you actually have a conversation with them, what do they do? Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's my daughter's birthday. I have to go. It's like you're not going to have a conversation with them. You're not going to have a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And it's rude in our society to, like, spring on somebody, hey, actually, I'm a journalist and I'm going to report, you know, on you. It's not conventional. It's not – I mean, you could get sued for emotional damages or it's just you just don't kind of do that sort of thing in our society.
Yeah, it's rude. It's almost illegal. So we really don't have this – openness or this real transparency. That's a complete lie.
It's a complete lie. The transparency is like a thin film on a dense ball of lead that is secret.
Yeah. And it's always processed film, pre-processed. So whatever we get to see through, whatever we see when we see through it is all pre-planned and manufactured.
Oftentimes,
and filtered.
Yeah.
And we really are not seeing in really half the time.
And you can tell that when it isn't planned, they quickly spin it one way or the other. You know, that's another that seems to be another function of the press is, you know, someone makes one legitimate report or sneaks in a bit of valid info in their long article of propaganda, and suddenly they release like 5 or 10 more articles, you know, over the course of the year that try to squeeze that information out and drown it out again. So even if you do get some information out there, they just squeeze it out and overwhelm it and flood it. And that seems to be their main power right now with the computers and these simulations, is they can just pump it out so quickly. They don't even need as many people doing it probably as they used to. It's like – it seems like they just have – sometimes it seems like there's a core group of people that they keep hiring for a lot of these PSYOPs over and over.
Well, it's easier to consolidate if you have easier to maintain control if you have a small select list of players and actors. I always wonder when it comes to movie making, why we have to always have the same people in the movies. And their excuse is, well, everyone loves these people. They love the way they look, the way they sound, and it sells a movie. But almost every role. Well, any role could have almost anybody in it, as long as the role is interesting. So maybe that's the excuse for just maintaining this very small cast of characters, because they know they're in for a lifetime massive payday. So they get their marching orders once at the beginning of their useful life.
Yeah.
And they're there for any and all propaganda.
You have to demonstrate a certain level of sycophancy if you're going to be in their club. You have to be showing that, you know, you're willing to, like, basically sell yourself.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, maintain the illusion that you're not to the public. I think that's part of one of the caveats of being a celebrity, is that you're kind of good at playing that game of, you know, you're basically secretly whoring yourself, but on the outside you maintain this, you know, this kind of facade of, you know, being super powerful and rich, and you do have those things, but it's, you know, look at the number of people who retire early or disappear or supposedly die or in the celebrity business. It's clearly not the least stressful job to have.
It's almost a dangerous, very dangerous business.
Yeah.
Being a chief propagandist, being someone who has the power to influence others, being the go-to person at all times, whether they be real movies or even these PSYOP movies.
Yeah.
Loose affiliation of individuals with enormous influence. I like that. L-A-I-E-I. Why do Americans love acronyms? They love their alphabet agencies. They love their... They make names just to compress them into acronym form, I think.
That was completely unintentional.
Yeah, no, I know.
But
I just...
But it does look like liar.
Liar. Could you mold that into liar somehow? Or
Yeah, I probably could. Maybe I'll work on it.
Loose
that.
Individuals.
Loose individual affiliation, etc.
Yeah.
All right, I'll work on that. I thought your alliteration on the six finger man. Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't even know. I got to look it up.
The six-finger hand and the six-finger man. That's priceless.
Yes. Well, we can marry this priceless research of these anomalies in the video. They're fantastic how they come up. They're like little turds that they accidentally drop.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's like they're just... I mean, of course we can talk about the deliberateness, but I just see it as like, you know, they're just... brazen. They just like put it out. They don't care. Most people will believe it anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if Snowden has like a slightly alien skin tone and it stops right at his neck on a line.
All right, where were we? Sorry about that.
No worries. I was just complaining about Snowden and how he's obviously a digital creation and not a real human, even if there's an actor or two that plays him, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. I mean, we were looking at this stuff back in 2007, and it's just gotten more and more brazen, more and more ridiculous. They're, you know, they're on talk shows, they're on comedy shows, these Sims, basically. And the celebrities that you think might be more real or humanistic because they have a sense of humor are just going along with it, acting seamlessly with it. It's so odd.
Yeah, you would love to see the setup. It must be some kind of green screen, some kind of setup where they're just talking into air, and then everything is pieced together later.
Yeah, or they talk to someone, and there's an audience there watching it, and they can like touch it up before they release it. For whatever reason, people might not be able to see that face up close, or get the detail that a high definition TV screen will give, with like showing the pores on the person's face, you know. And it's just, I don't know, it's very interesting. I wonder how that would go. I tried getting into a Conan O'Brien show once to sit in the audience to see how it went, but I didn't get to go.
See what kind of controls being exercised over the audience with prompters and puffers or people that pump up the audience and signage to direct the audience.
Yeah, supposedly almost anyone can go. So I'd like to give it a shot sometime, continue this sort of nondescript research. Anyhow.
Yeah, but do you want to get back to the who funds the National September 11 Memorial?
Anywho. Yes.
So we said, this group creates lens power to the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, which creates lens powers to Penn Power, lens power to the 9/11 Memorial Museum.
Correct. I mean, this is just what it says. This is what it says on their own websites. You know, this is where we get money. This is where we get money, and this is where we get power to move that government money into these systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very clear flow of, you know, the government is. You know, allowing a certain amount of HUD funds or a certain amount of things that any sort of state or city could apply to the Fed for. And they're just showing this is the chain of power. This is our transparency. You know, you don't actually get to see these transactions. It just sort of happens. And then somebody's building something and then someone has a handshake and a contract. But they do seem to go through the motions anyway. And if you do some searches, there's all sorts of property changing hands during these things, too. Like 9/11, there was all these lawyers representing people that never appeared in court. It was always just like a lawyer that would go represent these different people. And suddenly money would be granted by this judge. And people would get summer homes and stuff. It seemed like there was just like property happening.
So this could be the mechanism of payout on the scam.
Yeah, I think so. I think that looking at where it's hard because, you know, it actually does involve trying to file for Freedom of Information Acts or whatever, trying to figure out how this government money was spent. But I wonder if it's connected at all back to that so-called $2 trillion that went missing, or if that was just a honeypot story as well.
Yeah, that may be just a red herring, just another major piece of conspiracy candy for people to suck on while all these bigger property movement, money movements were going on.
Yeah, I think that if you look at it, it's much less general than like a chunk of money disappearing. It's probably kind of like little things going on here or there. Like,
yeah.
Money
bleeding everywhere from all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of like they make Hollywood movies about it. Someone, you know, getting the fraction of a dollar that just gets thrown away by the computer and building it up or something.
Yeah, the slush fund, yeah, where they just chip a tiny transaction piece away and it adds up to billions because it's on trillions of transactions.
People have been scamming each other for as long as time, you know,
yeah.
As long as people have existed.
As long as they could get away with it.
Yeah.
It's a lot better chipping away at people when they don't even feel it. And they're just, it's like a mosquito bite, death by 1,000 mosquito bites. You don't really feel it till much later and then it's too late.
Yeah. And if your body is, well, this is getting a little bit weird, but
yeah.
if your body is the corporate body, that you don't feel because it's a fake human made up of legal paperwork.
Yes, the corpus.
Then you're not going to feel the mosquito bites at all because it's just this fake entity that, you know, you get money from and which other people get money from. And yeah.
Yeah, it's the proverbial third party, this corporation. It's just a corpse. It's a
yes.
corpse that people can pick on and feed and that... Just having an intermediary between human beings just opens up so much fraud and nonsense. Whereas if I have to pick your pocket every single time I want money, you're going to have a chance to say no every time.
It's the beginning of simulation. That's exactly what I was talking about. In the history of simulation, what is the first thing that was simulated? It was like a signature or some kind of emblem that people wore as a necklace and could, you know, roll in the clay, and that was like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go through the cast of characters. We have John C. Whitehead, who served in the U.S. Navy, apparently, in the invasions of Normandy, southern France, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa.
Wow.
And served as an instructor at Harvard. He was apparently the director of the New York Stock Exchange, the chairman of the Securities Industry Association. He became deputy to Secretary of State. As you know, that's a second in command to the real secretary. Then there's the fact that he was a former chairman at the Federal Reserve, the New York branch. We have Peter Davidson, who worked in the U.S. Department of Energy and finances at the U.S. Department of Energy. He was also an executive at Morgan Stanley. We have Robert Douglas, who was vice chairman and director of Chase Manhattan, secretary of Chase Manhattan in the before that. And he is a member of Council on Foreign Relations, that infamous group. We have Catherine Vey Hughes, who mysteriously served on the World Trade Center Scientific Technical Advisory Committee and the World Trade Center Health Program Survivors Steering Committee. You have Thomas S. Johnson, who is one of those people who claims to have lost a family member conveniently, and also is a special assistant to the comptroller in the U.S. Department of Defense. Imagine that. Also a member of, the Council on Foreign Relations. And was on the board of WNET Channel 13 in New York. So a media connection there.
That's probably PBS, I guess.
He's on the board of Prudential Life Insurance. We have this Rampy character, who's apparently an executive, who's not only responsible for legal matters of North America insurance operations, also serves as the executive committee of the World Trade Center Memorial Foundation. So basically, he's one of those people that would be in the meetings when they have the closed door meetings.
And a suspicious victim-like pitcher.
Well, that's the supposed son of this Thomas S. Johnson.
Oh, okay.
But if we ever found out who this Rampy was, I'd like to have a conversation with him. We have Carl Weisbrod, who apparently personally helped lead the post-9/11 recovery of downtown neighborhoods. Not really sure what that means. Was he, like, in there with Bush standing on the rubble, or was he
walking
like,
around just, with a shovel?
Yeah, or was he walking around with just a clipboard, you know? It's hard to know. Anyway, you got a whole weird cast of crew for these meetings. And then if you actually read the notes, it starts out right away with, we got to build this memorial. But for some reason, they decide it must be done in two stages. Or it like, I'm not sure why someone suggests two stages to that. It sounds like very subliminal kind of reminder of...
Oh, really?
Of the two towers or something, and then...
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Then you have a certain number of strange people helping the chairman. You have Edward G. Novotny, which is a public relations company, and as we know from the BBC documentary Century of the South, public relations is propaganda. They're the one and the same. They're about polling the demographics and getting information from people, psychologically studying wide groups of people and then influencing them. So you have this guy as an assistant to the chairman at all times, but he doesn't seem to be making any comments through the meeting that are noted. And then there's Stephen Pryor, who is known online already. I didn't even have to really dig that hard to find that he is known already for, like, being a bullshitter. For just, like, saying a bunch of nonsense words that sort of, like, sound like information but don't actually tell you what's going on. An example or two of his... one of his speeches about the teaching program are... He says, in one example... The model that we established for evaluation with the inclusion of teacher observations of student learning, indicators, to making sure that we are looking at student outcomes and other features, that was arrived at by consensus through our Performance Evaluation Advisory Council. But you don't really know what was arrived at by consensus, because it's not... What is he talking about? And then he says, we received a waiver to enable us to administer the Smarter Balance Assessment this year on an optional basis, and a lot of other conclusions get drawn from that. Including the fact that we needed to decouple data state data from the evaluation system. It's like not quite a sentence. It's like these fragments of information.
It's gobbledygook.
It's gobbledygook.
And it's meant to confuse.
And then, so he starts out as secretary, and then he becomes deputy to the chairman. Like, a couple of meetings later, it's almost like they were like, "Wow, he's good. Let's have him bullshit right next to the guy who's leading these meetings." And then when they start making announcements about the where the family members are meeting in their room on the 20th floor, which I can't imagine is very big. I mean, first of all, one floor of this smaller building next to the World Trade Center, where the World Trade Center used to be. You know, that's not very big at all. But they're saying there's a room on that floor, a room for tens of thousands of people to come and meet and talk with one person, Miss White or Wright, who's supposed to be basically sitting there, this banking CEO and Harvard grad and basically Baptist and, like, you know, powerful Baptists. They, I don't know. I'm a bit suspicious of anything like that. It seems to me kind of like if you're targeting people's religious beliefs and, you know, trying to influence all these people, that shows that you have that personality, that you want to be like influencing all these people. And she could also like pretend to channel, you know, many, many people. It's very like culty. And she's supposed to be the one contact for all the thousands of people. And every time she's in the meeting, she comically states, the families are concerned about this, or the families really feel happy about this. And it's something like, the families are concerned that there's not going to be enough development at the World Trade Center. Like,
really?
If you lost a loved one, would that be foremost on your mind? Like, we need to get businesses back in the area. Like, we need to get, like, profits going again. We need like smooth transportation there so that the economy can flow again in the World Trade Center complex. Like, how could that even be what the families are saying or concerned about?
How could that be a thought in their mind? Yeah. Not possible. It's insane.
It's completely insane. And it's just, we're supposed to take it as a coincidence that those concerns are the exact concerns outlined by the chairman of the meetings at the beginning of like every meeting. So it's almost like she's going, yeah, I'll talk to the families. And then she comes back and says, yeah, the families are concerned about those things. Yeah, like we should just go ahead and do that, you know? Like,
the families are behind you. Carry on. Yes.
The families are a little bit worried that it's going too fast. You know, she can put some harmless little things in there to make it seem more human.
Yeah.
But it's basically just, it's railroaded, as they say. It's railroaded in.
Yeah, well, basically the families were the number one recipient of the trauma. Therefore, whatever the families want to correct this injustice, we should accommodate. So the families are a tool to steer this whole thing, steer the grief,
exactly.
Steer the rebuilding. They're the untouchable tool. They're like the magic wand, the families. There should be a big magic wand that says the families. You touch this and things happen because you cannot argue with this magic wand called the families.
Yeah, exactly. And the funniest thing is that's the concept, obviously, that was behind involving the families. But when it came down to actually executing it, they did it so crappily and so half-assed and so half-hearted. It's almost like they were just going through the motions because no one was paying attention. No one is reading these meeting notes. The press wasn't allowed to actually like sit in on their private meetings. So what you have is a plan. You can see the plan to have a conspiracy that was much more complicated than it actually ended up being. And that's what's just so funny is people say, oh, conspiracy is not possible because it's too many people involved. But it's like, no, you can have a plan to involve as many people as you want. And then when it comes down to like delegating, you just have Stephen Pryor step in and be, okay, he's the only one who's being the secretary. Let's just have him do it. You know, whoever shows up, basically, whoever shows up and demonstrates enough like ability to suck up,
mm-hmm.
seems given the job. And then the people, like the mass people that you see day to day and try to talk about this stuff with them, they don't seem to be able to talk about it because they think, oh, but they have it all worked out. It's so complex. You know, the families are so involved. People's own imaginations are being used against them because they're imagining that it's like this super huge, complex thing, unwieldy thing. And it's just, no, they just have a little imagination themselves, these board members. They just come up with a little plot, do it loosely, and it seems to work. It just seems to be like these psychological tricks.
Yeah, and anything they need to tweak along the way, they can do easily. If any opposition or any exception to their plan comes up, they have a plan for that and a way to deal with it and a way to explain it.
It's just funny. It's like going to, I don't know if you've ever gone to just like some church committee or some random group of people. It's like they're just operating that loosely. They just have a few psychological weapons which they use to protect themselves from inquiry. They use their power like cowards, hiding behind their, like, you know, their New York law so that nobody can, like, actually show transparency in there. But they're just behaving like average cowards.
Yeah. Bullies, yeah. Interesting.
So that's the only thing that I was kind of, I mean, amused by and interested in as far as this LMDC. We don't have to go into detail with all of these events, you know, this much detail. It's obvious. Kind of what's going on. You could assume if the video is fake, somebody made it and somebody put it there. You don't really have to go into detail about who. You can make your own assumptions. But if you do dig a little, if you just do the tiniest amount of research into even what's publicly available, you find it's just comically simple.
Yeah, and there is no research being done by the media, because I think the media has been so neutered and so hollowed out that even if there was someone interested in doing the reporting, it just wouldn't make it past the editing process unless it was completely in line with the way they wanted it to come out. I think the absolute control over the few media outlets that are left is just absolute.
If a newspaper needed to be destroyed, they could destroy the newspaper. They could release some scandal. They could character assassinate the CEO of the newspaper. You know, it's people are really, I'm sorry, it's cynical, but people really are controlled easily when it comes to these psychos with the will to threaten people and bribe them, basically. Just threaten and bribe.
Those are the main two tools of control. It's probably more bribe than threaten, but that's all it takes, isn't it?
It is. It's all it takes. It's sad. It's human nature.
Interesting. Well, it's a pretty good deconstruction of just this one little museum, which is a gross monument to a gross hoax. But
it
certainly is fantastic in scope and size. It's almost worth visiting for even people that research these things just to see the physical size of this whole thing.
Well, I'll meet you in Buffalo and let's go.
Yeah, sure. I'll head down the interstate, the thruway to go down there. I haven't been to New York City in a long time, probably 30 years, so.
We'll take turns. I can go in, and then when I'm kicked out, you can go in, and you can get kicked out. And we'll just, like, send people in to, like, ask questions.
Well, as much as I don't agree with the AE for 9/11 truth and their broadcast that I listen to every week, they said this museum is actually good for them because they're standing outside handing out their version of what they say happened. So at least it's a meeting place now where people can go and share propaganda, even though their message, of course, is far and away from media fakery. It's still a counter message.
And Clues Forum used to joke about setting up, buying property across the street and setting up a propaganda museum.
Yeah, that'd be great. The history of propaganda. Yeah, that could still be done.
You know, and just like have it involve Hiroshima and NASA and all those hoaxes, and just
that'd be a great name for a website. Just the history of propaganda. Sort of, that's pretty cool. That might be worth some sort of Wikipedia or something. Just create this index of propaganda. Of course, we have it in one form or the other, on Clues form.
Well, you have to document human history. I think that's the problem. Like, apparently, our history is just flooded with propaganda, if not mostly composed of propaganda.
Yeah. It's hard to sort the wheat from the chaff, what's real and what's not. Very difficult at this point. All right, did you want to discuss something else? I might have to break off right here, but I can pick it up.
That's fine. I mean, I was just going to mention some of the other things, some of the other writings happening, other things going on, like Paul Clark and his ISS video, and that was really nice.
Oh yeah, we're gonna try and convene Sunday morning, right?
Yep.
Okay. I haven't heard back from Simon yet, so I'll have to make sure he's interested as well.
And kind of on a related note, as far as like other people's creations and writings, Calcified Lies did that. His insight into the maybe his sort of his guess at what the philosophy behind some of the 9/11 propaganda and Kubrick's involvement and all that
in the
space hoaxes and things, a little bit related because it's like Kubrick and space and all that.
Yeah, I'm not as fascinated by that, but it was a good post. I did link to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you tend to focus more on like the real everyday things, and I think some of us are also interested in like earth sciences and stuff mm-hmm. like that because it's so odd. It's so odd what they've gotten away with. But in a way it also isn't, because yeah, it's so esoteric. How do you study outer space, like when so few people can actually afford to like send up a giant machine up there? And so anyway.
Yeah, space is only second in mystery to the human brain. It's far away. You can't verify a lot of it. A lot of it is just good guesses. What are these lights in the sky? Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I'm not even sure about the planets and how exactly they came to reason certain planets are there at all.
I feel similarly, but I think that how we can tie it back into the theme of this show is we can say, you know, basically that is, if we can show that, you know, just this simple scam, this property scam.
Yeah, the 9/11 scam.
Can happen so simply just by people being overwhelmed by their own doubt, their doubt in their ability to actually look into something like this.
Yeah. Then and you surrender to authority, yeah.
You can extrapolate that and say, well, so of course we're not going to know about the big questions. You know, if even the little everyday questions about how our own society works is so confusing to us, of course we're not going to know, you know, what is space and what is the earth and things like that. And of course the same clowns are going to step in and tell us how it all works, so that we have to trust them and we have to, like, let the bullies again run rampant in our society. So, I don't know. I think that's how it relates in a way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's why the 9/11 deception, if you accept it for what we accept it for, is just such a gateway, a portal to all the other deceptions.
In a way, it's almost like it is on purpose that they tied in everything. You know, they had the ISS taking photos of the terrorists.
Yeah.
They had, it kind of is reminiscent of the JFK assassination. It's like all their hoaxes all tied up together in a knot.
Yeah, they always revisit their past psyops. It's all part of the reinforcement.
It is. I guess if you have a big one, then it's kind of required to involve the other semi-big ones. So in a way, yeah, it's not necessarily that it's definitely on purpose, only that it is interesting that they have to do that, because otherwise people would say, well, that doesn't match this other story. So
very good. Okay, we'll wrap it up right here, and we'll reconvene on Sunday. But this was good and all. I do like these little short chats where we can just sort of highlight different posts on the Clues forum.
Yeah.
That you do, because I think, well, I know that you put a ton of effort into these posts. So even though it might only be two pages, you might have spent a day at it. So I commend you for your research. Yeah.
Thanks. It's nice. It's sad that little amount of effort can be so huge. You know, it's almost like, well, you wonder what these journalists are doing.
Well, if there are any, I think a lot of the journalists, even in my own local paper, I'm not sure they're real people. some of them never surface, say, on a live television. Even we just discussed that might not be proof at all, but I'm not sure they're just placeholders for stories. Certain of them in my area.
I met a couple of the talking heads in my local area, like from like news, little news stations, and they always are really weird behaviorally. Like, they look at me extremely suspiciously, and like if even if I ask something like, "Oh, the weather's nice," or like, "What the time is it?" and they're kind of like, they're extremely defensive, and like they feel like they're definitely agents of something, because they just can't act like a normal person.
Well, maybe they detect your intelligence, and they're always on the lookout for people that can see right through them, and someone smart enough to blow their cover.
Yeah.
If they are out lying and deceiving, you're always worried you're going to get blown at any time. The stress level must be very high. So if they run into someone who might ask a question that could snag them and unravel an entire ball of their yarns, I think that would be very stressful.
Yeah, I don't want to stress them out, but it's just, it's weird. Like, I just saying hello or trying to engage them, they have a huge, thick wall of defense.
Yeah.
In their personality.
I've reached out to two local reporters, and neither wants to talk. I just said, let's just have a conversation. You're in the media. Can we discuss some of the things that I perceive as deceptions? And, never get a response. Oh, I can't call you. Or, it's fantastic. It would just be like asking a fireman, can you tell me how you fight fires? And most would be happy to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. If their job was legit.
Yeah.
It was a guy who'd never fought fire in his life, he might actually be a little bit nervous about meeting and talking about it.
Yeah, because he knows that I'm a doubter, so okay, I'm just asking for a little proof of some of your activities, and are you aware of others that might be in your business that might be more deceiving or propagandist than actually trying to get to the truth of the matter?
So, yeah, I feel like I don't come up and I'm like, I don't do anything accusational, I just, you know, just trying to have a normal conversation with somebody, and they just put up this front, like, whoa, that is heavy stuff. You're acting so heavy, and I'm just trying to engage you in conversation like a human being. And that to me is just another huge sign that something weird is going on with the media.
Well, I don't think there are too many real conversations that ever occur in any circle anywhere. I'm more and more convinced of that. So just us having this conversation and recording it actually might be fascinating to a lot of people, because they don't have these conversations. They can't find people to talk to in an intelligent way, and that's what I find a relief, to be able to talk to people like you, read your work, and talk to Simon, because it appears that there aren't too many others like us. This is really strange, and I'm talking even more highly educated people as well.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I want to give people the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, they have real conversations about other things, but I see what you mean. It's like when you want to focus on something of interest and talk deeply about it, there aren't too many people who are deep talkers. Yeah.
Or are willing to do the research. Certainly not like you have, just do some cursory reading. So I think it's really great that we can chat and just go over this stuff and let other people listen in, because people are fascinated to listen to real people chatting. And I think it's important, because some of us get accused of being this person or that person. And when you can put a voice to the pros online, it adds that extra dimension that rounds out the picture of what you're saying and who you are. And so it makes it more real, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I better let you go. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care and we'll talk later.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio's review of the cluesforum.info. Please go to our website at fakeologist.com and review this episode's notes for links discussed in the broadcast. We do a live broadcast most Saturday nights at 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time with guests and listeners just like you. If you'd like to share your 9/11 hoax recovery experience, please contact us at contact.fakeologist.com. Thank you for listening.
A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it? I can see it on the shot.